Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As many of you know, we've been having the presidential candidate, Andy Williams Jr., coming on every Tuesday to talk about some of the issues that are going on in this country that he would be concerned with and that he would be working on. And under the party, We the People, not Democrat, not Republican, and not Independent, but We the People Party. So we have Andy Williams Jr. on with us again today, and we are going to have him introduce himself and talk a little bit about what he'd like to see happen if he is elected. I would also like to ask questions, and I welcome anyone in the audience to please feel free to call in, ask questions, provide feedback, or whatever you may want to say. So here we are right now welcoming Andy.
Hey.
We're getting a bit static. Okay, it's gone.
Good afternoon, Miss Leona.
How are you today, Mr. Williams?
It's snowy out here in Illinois.
We have it. We had a snowstorm a couple of days ago, and then we're having it again this evening until tomorrow evening. And yes, they were talking about snow pretty much all over the country, if it's not something else.
Well, that's good. Yeah, we got it. That's good. I'm glad you got it. So now I don't feel alone out here.
Thanks. Andy, please let the audience know, those that haven't been listening in, please let the audience know a little bit about yourself. And also, what gave you the initiative to actually decide to run for the presidential position?
Yeah, for sure. Well, what made me run for the, really apply for the position of president is, as ironic this would sound, but because I was born for this. I think everybody has a purpose in their life of what they're supposed to do and how they are supposed to do it. And this is what I was born to do, which is serve people, to give hope to people. And the way our country is right now, we need representation that represents people, not political parties, not personal agendas. And what we have is that we are the people, which is a membership association based on faith-based, that believes we the people have the power. And we the people is taken from 2 Chronicles 7:14 that talks about if the people, meaning they have the power to turn from their wicked ways, then the land would be healed. Because, again, the people have the power. And it's the same, we are the people, that's written in the Declaration of Independence, that in order to form a more perfect union, we the people establish this Constitution. And from that Declaration of Independence, it also discussed whenever the government, as I like to say, has gotten too big for their britches, we the people have the right to alter, abolish, and form a new government. And so this campaign today is about that new government, a new government by the people, for the people, because we are the people. And Andy is one of those people. So the position that my vice president, Miss Rita Williams, who has got this bug that a lot of people have been going around. I know I had it coming into the new year. But our position is we're winning regardless of what the election outcome is, because we're establishing a new form of government. And the reason why I can't just focus on the election, because we saw what happened with Bush and Al Gore, how that election has some change, some things going on. We saw what happened with Bernie Sanders within his own party, and that's some stuff that we can't repeat. And then we also saw what happened in the 2020 election, and that's definitely something we cannot repeat. So in order to ensure that we don't repeat that cycle, we're saying come look at Rita and Andy Williams, no relation. She's in Michigan, I'm in Illinois. But let us represent what a new government looks like. She's, you know, from the Caucasian skin color. I'm from what I like to say, kinfolk, you know. And so we have this saying that we're born for this, but it doesn't matter if you're black or white. What matters is that we're the people, and we care about people. Everybody has a voice. Every individual living has a right. And when I say living, I mean here, that's, you know, on earth. You know, they have a right to be represented because they have a voice. And I'm part of that voice. I'm one of those voices that's representing this. I used to say it was a broken political system, but I think it's broken people that are hurt. And that hurt, it starts, depending on who we're talking with, in childhood, but it deals with an adverse childhood experience that was some kind of trauma that happened to somebody, whether the way they grew up or the post-traumatic slave syndrome that Dr. Joy DeGroy. If you haven't heard of her, I would definitely say reach, do some research about her. She did 12 years of some research, and she developed this theory about post-traumatic slave syndrome. And that is American's legacy of enduring injury and healing, meaning certain cultures or nationalities has never healed from the post-traumatic slave syndrome because it's still going on. And historically, we, certain people, which Irish people were enslaved, Germans was enslaved, the people that we, Africans, Israelites, Anglo-Saxons, so many of people have been enslaved. And from that enslavement, there's adaptive survival behaviors. But what we have see it mostly is in the African American or American communities, because, you know, we can't all say we came from Africa just because of our skin color. But it becomes a this post-traumatic slave syndrome exists as a consequence of multi-generational oppression resulting from centuries of chattel slavery. Even today, you know, it's just ongoing, and it's ongoing. And it's got so worse today because we are the people have become chattel slavery to this government system. So we got to raise a new form of government. But now that we're talking about this post-traumatic slave syndrome and the adverse childhood experience, which the adverse childhood experience is, again, when somebody has had like a harsh event in their childhood, some type of trauma, whether it's emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional neglect, physical neglect, parents being treated violently, alcohol and drugs in the household, separation, divorce, or a household member is in jail or prison. This seems to be like 2/3 of our country has dealt with something like this. And that adverse childhood experience has us begin to have this social, emotional, and cognitive impairment on how we deal with life. And then we adopt these behaviors, and that's what deals to social problems, and that's how we come to an early death. And I think it was in Nevada where this man pled to the equity of the court, saying, hey, listen, I done got myself together. I'm doing better. Have mercy upon me. You know, be leaning on me. Give me some probation. And she went back through his record with no knowledge of mental health or adverse childhood experience or nothing that he's went through that would cause the behavior that he had to happen, because they grew up in two different environments. I'm sending you to jail. I'm not giving you probation or whatever she said. And he snapped. But that, the way he snapped, deals with an adverse child experience, possibly on the way he grew up. And it should have been dealing with his mental health, not these infractions, which most of the things he was charged with was never against the state. The state was never the victim. It was another living individual or something. So my position is the state didn't even have jurisdiction. And now they sentenced the boy to 4 years in prison based on his behavior. And she says, well, I already was going to sentence you to that. And honestly, what he needs to be having is going to a mental, a trauma healing center, because I would prefer to call that, to deal with this childhood or adult, because it even goes into adulthood, because we adapt these childhood behaviors, and get him the healing that he would need to to get his mind right, to get him the hope and stuff. Because if all we're doing is punitive penalties, we're never getting to the root of that. And what we see today in this America is exactly the result of that. That's what we're seeing. What he did is no different than what you see the police doing in the streets every day when they jump on somebody and do something to them. No difference in the correctional officers. No difference in the arguments we have in our homes with our spouses, the way we talk to our children. This is what society is, because society, as like I said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, for those that adopted the faith-based model, we got to turn from our wicked ways and we got to heal. And we got to learn to love one another. And that's no government individual can do that. What I can do is represent what that looks like. That's what I can do. Represent what that looks like. And again, I wasn't big into these policies, quote unquote, or politics when Jimmy Carter was the president, but it just appears that he had a good model of what, you know, stable, stability, a statesman, fairness, just what it really looked like. And again, I wasn't there when he was the president. I wasn't even involved in politics, so I'm going back in history, reading about him, or I've read about him. I got a letter from his library when I was running in president in 2020 election. I asked for an endorsement, and they were kind enough to write back, and I got the letter. And I think that's the way that he had it set up. This is how we're going to do. We're going to respond to the people who write to us. And so I appreciate that about his morals, his values, and his integrity. And I'm saying that's what we need today. And we need to deal with this trauma that we faced as a nation, as people, and we need to heal from that. You know, I speak of the guy we call DT. You know, some people don't like to say his name, but he had an adverse childhood experience. When he was 13, he was sent to a boarding school. But when you, and so I'm saying that would have shifted the family narrative between him and his father. But let's take this other scenario when we're in these marginalized communities where the brothers or sisters are 13. Are they getting sent to a boarding school or are they getting sent to a juvenile facility? See, there's a difference when you have access to resources. Go ahead, Miss Leona.
I'm glad that you said all that. I did want to ask you questions on it, but my theory is a little different. The young man in the courtroom, unfortunately, I wanted to talk to you about mental health issues in this country, and not only with this incident, but with those mass incarceration in the United States, people in the communities. One of the things is this young man, a previous judge, had ordered this young man into a behavioral facility to find out if he was competent to actually appear in court. Now, an incompetent psychologist found this gentleman to be competent to stand before this judge. And this is what happened. And so I wanted to ask your thoughts on mental health issues itself in the United States of America. And I myself could not sleep after watching that. And I did make some calls the other day to see about getting people involved in this on a national level. Because we have people incarcerated, as you mentioned, who have psychological issues and mental health issues. People think to be mentally ill, you have to be mentally retarded. And one of the things is people do not need to be mentally retarded to be considered mentally ill. We have inappropriate and ineffective contracted providers around the country in the Department of Corrections. And unfortunately, these people that are contracted, medical and psychological, are ineffective. They don't know what they're doing. They have actually caused many deaths, and they've also caused permanent damage to a lot of people. They have misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all people incarcerated who have had traumas in their past and were affected with PTSD, and many of them are diagnosed with antisocial behavior. And this is not appropriate. It should not be allowed. This is not tolerable. To diagnose people with antisocial behavior and not address the issues that they have gone through. In the prisons around the country, we have individuals who had traumatic events happen to them as children and as adolescents. We have, unfortunately, people who have been in different cultures, and many have been brought up in cultures in the streets where street have been drug-infested, alcohol-infested, violence. These are all traumatic experiences resulting in PTSD and traumatic events. I have a friend that is a psychiatric nurse who worked in a prison in the United States. She ended up leaving because she didn't see or didn't approve of the way that she was seeing these people treated in the prison. I've interviewed former correctional officers who have turned in some of their peers for the corruption, for the abuses that go on in the prisons. We're not just talking about individuals incarcerated or on the street telling us about these issues. We're hearing these from the people themselves that have worked amongst others, other overseers that have actually seen and abused these type of people. I feel really bad for that young man because it could have been prevented, him getting 4 years additional. It could have been prevented if a effective and competent psychologist had interviewed him, evaluated him. I have a psychosocial therapist. If we could get someone in politics to have a show on television to bring these type of people on to discuss the mental health issues we have in this entire country, they will see that people outside of these contracted providers, professionals, who will disagree with these contracted providers. And we also see these providers on the internet who have all kinds of lawsuits against them. But because the Department of Corrections around the country are trying to save so much money, they are keeping these inappropriate providers to destroy these people that are in need of psychiatric help, psychological help, and also medical help. So I wanted to find out your thoughts about these things, but also I want to ask the caller, 910, to state your name, please.
Rowena Andrews. Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you, Rowena?
Hey, Ms. Rowena.
Hi, Mr. Williams.
I want to ask you, you're a life coach, right?
No, I am a life coach, but I'm a licensed teacher, special education, emotional behavior disorder, and I have a leadership in behavior and mental health issues.
Yes,
so
this is what I mean.
Usually, yes.
Yeah, I understand you're a teacher, but I didn't realize you had all those other. But yes, I'm glad you're on.
I have a doctorate, but I haven't done my dissertation. I have a doctorate in it, but I didn't finish my dissertation. And the thing with me is, it's hard for me to say my position because I know that everybody has a valid position, but these people, such as the illness that this young man had. I see this in the school. And that's why you see a trend of those videos of the kids attacking teachers. And it's also the leaders, it's supposed to be their responsibility to put them in the right setting. But parents, the superintendents, the politicians say that doing what some of those things violates their rights. So you're going to always see a certain amount of violence in the room because, like you said, they don't have enough programs, they don't have enough workers, they don't have enough assistance to help those people. So it goes back to having, if a person is violent, and he had a very violent history, even though he was schizophrenic and bipolar, they kept letting him out because everybody said he has a right. And at this time, if they knew that, I don't know what that was about, that they didn't have him adequately restrained anyway. But they don't restrain him anymore like that. And now he's going to go to prison, and he's still not going to get the help that he needs. He'll probably get medication.
And this is what I was hoping, yes, Andy, you could talk about, because I want to say, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rowena, and I want you to speak up. I just want to say this before I lose my train of thought. But my problem right now, and I'm very upset with the Department of Mental Health, and the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and all other mental health facilities in the community, not one of them came forth when all of this happened in the courtroom. Not one of them came forth to say that this person is definitely, something definitely is wrong with this person. We'd like to evaluate him. And I, another thing I'd like to talk to you about, Andy, is having judges, because judges, like anyone else, they may have their profession in their field of being a judge. But I believe judges should also have training in the areas of psychiatric evaluations or psychiatric illnesses. Because that judge should not have sent him out of that courtroom to go to prison to be beaten, because as we all know, they claim that it was a spit hood. I'm going to tell you, years ago in Rhode Island, there was a young man that went to court for killing a police officer. And that police officer, the family said, was trying to help that kid. But that kid was in a room with the police officer, and there were other police officers there. So we wondered all that time, how could this person, and they said the police officer that was killed, his gun was on the desk. How can these other police officers stand by and let this person shoot this police officer that had been helping him all along? But what they said was he got all messed up because he jumped out of the window in the building running away because these other police officers were chasing him. They had a spit cord on him, but they had beaten him so bad that when they brought him into the courtroom to face the judge, and his mother and sister were in the courtroom, his sister screamed when they saw what they did to her brother, and his mother saw what they did to her son. And when the sister screamed, the judge threw the sister out of the courtroom. She couldn't go back in. So these are issues, to me, that judges need training themselves. The lawyer that was with that young man had asked the judge to give the person probation. This is before he lashed out at the judge. Asked the judge to give him probation. Now, this he was being sentenced on a three strikes law. He had committed two before. It never said
nine felonies.
Well, I saw in that article it said three. So apparently, you know, sometimes they have a when they're doing something wrong, they will add more and more inappropriate
things
on. And I want to say this because I myself experienced this. A psychologist evaluated someone that I know personally. And when they evaluated this person, in the report, in the evaluation, if he had put down that the person's mother and father, talking about the background, the mother and father were together and doing well. This was a psychologist, had no clue, an incompetent psychologist, because that father had never been in the picture to begin with, had never had anything to do with his son from the time the child was 2 years old. And the father had died in 2012. The father died, and the family didn't even put that he had a son. This was in 2012. The evaluation was done in 2017 or 18. So where is this psychologist getting this information unless they make up things themselves to add so that when they turn in their evaluation, it's going to look like they did something? These are issues that I wanted to bring up because, Andy, when I get through and when Rowena gets through, I want your thoughts on this and what you could do to make changes if you are elected in this candidacy for the presidential candidacy for We the People. Because in this country, we have an epidemic of mental illnesses and addiction, which are not being addressed. They're being thrown into prison, they're being abused, they're being tormented, they're being deprived, they're being provoked, they're being harassed, they're being violated. And nothing's being done because the people that are sending them there, the judges, are not competent themselves because they have no knowledge of what's in front of them, other than the fact that somebody is in front of them that did something wrong. They don't look at the whole picture that why did this person do something wrong? I want this person evaluated before I sentence him. Send him and have him evaluated. And then when the when the psychologist evaluated him and said he was competent, I want to see the credentials of that psychologist that did the evaluation. We're too easy in this country when it comes to just allowing people to make decisions on the lives of others. This is ridiculous. It shouldn't be. But the people of this country allow everything to happen as long as it's not happening to them. And even many of them are allowing it to happen, even though they might have a loved one inside. They don't want to take the time to be there for their loved one, to even make sure their loved... You know, I did the show, I have to say, last night, Reginald Clemens and a couple of others from Missouri prison. These men are doing some mentorship for people getting ready to come out. Reginald himself is in for a wrongful conviction. He's been in for years, and two others that are going to be getting out at some point in time. But three of them, and this has been going on for some time, I've been allowing Reginald to do his show on Monday nights. In order to do the show on Mondays, because there are three of them, two of them call in directly to the station, and one of them has to call me, and I have to use my landline so that they can speak on the show. This is what usually goes on every Monday, but I finally have to say no. It's not going to happen because I have two phones. Of course, everyone knows you have a landline, you have a cell phone. I'm not going to tie up my phones because somebody's family or friends do not want to take the initiative to help them do the show. And this is a problem with families in this country who have a loved one inside. They turn their back on their loved ones. And when you see them turning their back on their loved ones, you know half the time, you know that this is the reason their loved ones are in prison in the first place, because they never got that support when they were on the outside. These are some of the issues that we need to talk about and we need to resolve. And I want, Andy, I would love to have you talk on some of these things that we brought up today. I'm going to put myself on mute because I really get upset when I talk about these things. I get upset not only with those who are incarcerated. I get upset with those who are listening, and I get upset with the families of these people, and I get upset with our government. Because our government is not doing anything but throwing people in prison just to make it easy for themselves. They don't want to put any effort into it. And you talk about facilities, mental health facilities on the outside. Somebody was telling me the other day, an advocate was saying, they closed down every mental institution in the country. And after they closed those institutions down, they started putting these people in prison. And after they threw all these people in prison, mentally ill and addictions, then these big corporations decided to come in and take advantage as well. Everybody wants a piece of that cake. So those that are allowed to work are working for pennies while these people are selling $300 and $400 sneakers and making all this money off of these fast food places and coffee places, Starbucks, Walmart, McDonald's. You know, and this is why I say we're living in a country that's so cold and careless that we need somebody that's going to take the position of leading this country and looking at a lot of these issues that are long overdue for resolutions. And I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'll let you, Andy, and Rowena, if you have questions, please feel free to do so.
Well, I think that with you and the passion that you have, Ms. Leona, I feel like you should be in the cabinet that deals with this situation, because as I stated before in previous shows that I was on with you, is that there's not no one individual that can solve everything. And I think some of the people that are campaigning or applying for the position of president, they're giving us a false narrative about all the solutions and all the problems, I should say, that they're going to fix. The purpose of the government is very limited. It's very limited. But its job is to protect the rights of the people and their property. Its job is to correct when something is wrong. And its job is to direct to the resources. That's why we have representatives. And representatives is to make sure that the people, not only their constituents, but the people are represented properly in Congress and in government. And I believe that as long as government has been in America, which is really they conquered those that were already here and set up shop, we should have been done fixed these situations and these disparities that we're having today. But the reason why is because there's limited government accountability. And when I say government accountability, I'm speaking about people being accountable. The reason why we can't get to the root of this trauma and this mental health, because we're electing and hiring people with the same disabilities. Because once you've been healed from a trauma, you can relate to somebody else's trauma. You can empathize with them. Because we're such a group of people that are trying to elect somebody to fix our problems, that's never going to work. You're not going to elect Andy and say, now Andy's become, or which I like to, again, say hiring. You're not going to hire me for a position and think that I should be the doctor, because that's not what I'm applying for. That's not in the job description.
Why?
So I'm not going to be the doctor. But I do understand about Dr. Joy DeGroy that deals with post-traumatic slave syndrome. I do understand about NAMI and what they do. I understand about Rick Warren and his Hope Foundation that he did for mental health because his son passed away from suicide. I do understand about the Aboriginal way of healing, because Celia Colin, CC, that's out of Illinois, she discusses that. So these are people that I'm sharing with you that have solutions that are better fit to correct this and bring this healing forth than just me, which when you elect me, you're electing somebody that has a vision for the people. That's what I have. I have a vision for the people because I can relate. I spent 6 months in the mental health center for pissing off the judge is what really happened, because I told him, if you've ever heard of The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, I explained that the court system was modern-day slavery, and everybody in the courtroom said, I can't believe that boy said that, because it was super-duper quiet. Both of my attorneys' face turned red. And when I was 3-5 minutes late to court, even though I had two attorneys there for me, they issued a warrant for failure to appear. How do I got to be failure to appear? I got two attorneys. I'm here. And that's the game that they played. And the reason why they played that game is so, as I said at the beginning of this, because I'm born for this position that I'm applying for. Because I went through that before. So now I can relate to that. And one of the roles of the president, or the better terms, commander-in-chief, is to be the chief magistrate of the law. And when we deal with what is law, what is law? Administering justice. What is administering justice? To do your neighbor no harm. If we just loved one another and loved ourselves, this is what hangs on all the laws and the prophets, is love. And what we see today is modern-day slavery that's evolved, not only in the courtroom, but in the churches. We're not going to leave that out, because we're like the modern-day Pharisees and Sadducees. We have a whole bunch of rules. We're concerned about the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is so unclean. We the people have the power. And Miss Leona, I love your passion. I really do. And it's that passion that says, this is who we want. When you sent the message out about how you connected to Al Sharpton and all those other people, I was saying Miss Leona should do that for We Are the People. Because we're not asking y'all to just show up. What we're saying is we have a solution and we want to implement it. Here's what we're proposing. And yes, we're supporting our candidate, Andy Hope Williams Jr., that shared this vision on my radio show on January 9th. About this mental health, this trauma. You look at the prisons in Norway, the Nordic model, what they do. They don't treat people like slaves. They treat people like people. North Dakota decided to model that. I think it was California went to Norway and talked about what they were going to do. A colleague, Glenn Martin, he went over to Norway. And they're saying this is what the United States should do when it comes to prison. But how can you really expect the United States to do that when you got Civic Corps, GTL, all these other corporations profiting off of this?
Right.
We don't profit off getting somebody healed. There's no difference than the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies. We're not going to heal you because then you can't get our pharmaceuticals. And the power that the people have, here's where the power the people have. We could choose what we want. You know what? I don't want your pharmaceuticals. I'm going to go to the farmer's market, and I'm going to get me a alkaline diet, and I'm going to eat different. I have the power to change that. We in the families, we have the power to change that. We can no longer keep blaming somebody for what's going on. We have to rise up and take the power that's been given to us. I used to grow up watching this cartoon, He-Man. I have the power. I believe that. All power and dominion has been given unto us. And we have the ability to tread against these scorpions and these snakes. And in, for better terms, that's what the majority of the government system is, a bunch of snakes. And it's a spirit that I'm talking about in them. That's just what I'm talking about. I'm not calling them out directly, expecting them to get what I'm saying. But I am talking about that spirit inside of them that partially is ignorance. So what we have to do is bring forth that solution for the people. Are we still here?
Okay, yes,
yes.
We've had people, someone had called in, they just dropped. We've had people in this country talking, everyone knows in this country about the success rate in Norway. Norway is the role model prison penal system for the world. And we also know in the Netherlands. And one of the things that I'm going to call her, I will open up in a second, but I just want to say this. We know these people are able to give the United States government great ideas on ways to improve the issues that are going on in the prison system with a lot of things. And they've talked about how they treated people with dignity. They treated them humane. They treated them, called them by names and not numbers. They've talked about a lot of these things, and they've had programs to fit everybody incarcerated in these countries. They're willing to come here. They've said it. They're willing to come here. They're willing to talk to our government. They're willing to talk to the wardens and the commissioners. They're willing to talk in the universities. All they need is someone to invite them. And this has been an ongoing thing that I've been interviewing them. Tomorrow I'll be interviewing Franz Dow again, and Franz Dow has been a 27-year warden, a former warden, and he's bringing on someone with him that's going to be able to give some really good suggestions and talk about what he's done and his success rate. But we need to stop being so proud and asking for the help to improve the system that goes on in this country. And these people are willing to help give that help if we would just be humble and invite them to come to this country and to come to these places and to speak. And caller 323, you want to state your name, please?
Yeah, this is Joe Leona. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you, Joe? Yes. How are you, Joe? There's a lot of static. Okay.
My earplug just busted on me. Hold on a sec. Hey, can you hear me now?
Uh-huh.
Sorry for that. My earbud just broke. Okay. So, in any case, I'm here to listen. That's all. I just want to listen. If there's anything else, I don't want to jump in.
We're talking about the mental health issues in the United States and also the addictions. And we're talking about I don't know people. I don't think people understand in this country that mental illness is not just retardation. It's not just the severely ill that can't do anything for themselves physically. We're talking about people who have had traumas in their past, people who have suffered, people that have grown up and been brought up in cultural areas that have been infested with drugs, with alcohol, with violence, and even in the homes with domestic violence. We're talking about mental illnesses in that respect. And there's a lot of people incarcerated, and it seems like they keep throwing them in, that have never, their issues have never been addressed. They still suffer from psychological damage from all of those years of going through all these things. And this is one of the questions that I had for Andy, is how would he address these things, or how would he deal with it? But I also want to make a note of the Department of Mental Health. Department of Mental Health, Donna Wynette, she's the founder of Families and Friends for individuals with mental illnesses. And her organization has been meeting with people in the hospital, Mass General Hospital, also NAMI, a Department of Mental Health, to try to get them involved in going in and doing independently, going in and doing work with these prisoners. Because we know that WellPath, a contracted provider with the Department of Corrections around the country, they service 37 states, and they're all over the internet. There's been so many lawsuits against WellPath. Their own founder is in prison serving 5 years, or they say for some kind of fraudulent or bribes. So the Department of Corrections is saving money, a lot of money, hiring cheap providers, ineffective providers. And this is what we're expecting rehabilitation to be for these people incarcerated. So when they come out, they're worse than when they went in. And again, Andy, I'm sorry to keep interrupting. I'm going to put myself on mute. Please finish what you were saying.
Well, I think you're saying exactly, you're helping what I'm saying, Ms. Leone, because I said you're part of that team that corrects it. I do come from a faith-based background, and that faith says the keys were given to the church. So me being naive, I would really say, is it not the church's responsibility to provide the solutions for the people? Because the church, meaning those that are walking by faith, and that faith is anything that deals with loving your neighbor. So let's be clear when I'm talking about the church and the faith. And I say that because there's a story in the scriptures that talk about the Good Samaritan, that when the priest and the pastor or whoever, all these other individuals walked by this man that was on the road that had got beaten up and was bruised, none of them reached out to help him. In fact, some of them crossed the street, crossed the way. But when the Samaritan, who this is not even his job, like he's not even called to be a minister, he saw the situation. Not only did he pick him up and help him, but he got him to a room and paid for his room and said, if it's more, when I come back, I'll pay that. And that's the faith that I'm talking about, the faith in the people, the power in the people. But from a scriptural standpoint, it's saying, listen, the keys have been given to the church. So the problems that we see going on in the society today, I'm saying the church should start there. We should start looking at what role should we be playing as believers that believe in hope and salvation. And I say we always want to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But when it comes to dealing with the world, instead of us transforming it, we conform to it. And all throughout those scriptures, there's countless miracles and testimonies and stories of people being delivered from the exact same spirit that man had in the body when he jumped on the judge. This is why we have a... Go ahead, Ms. Leona.
I was just going to say real quickly, I think was what was meant of those scriptures, and that was in Luke 10:25, what you're talking about, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Basically, what the Bible is saying is there's a lot of hypocrites in this world, and it's what it's saying is the people that are most respected and looked up to are the ones that are doing absolutely nothing. Now, we have these preachers on TV that are preaching to the choir. Jimmy Swaggart and the others that are preaching on television, they're making all this money, and I've watched some of these things, and I've had to change the channel because every time I turn it on, it's about money. The prisoners cannot give money. They don't have the money to give. So all of these good Samaritans, all of these good pastors and priests and imams and rabbis, all of them, these speakers on television, it's all about where the money's coming from.
It's all about, look, it's all about religious theater, all right? Same thing with politics, okay? Now, if you don't mind my interrupting, or do you, Leona?
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. I've said this before on your show. We have different denominations of churches in the country. They're all supposed to be a religious faith. They're all supposed to love God, and they're all supposed to transfer the information from God to the people, and the people are supposed to follow the precepts of God. So why aren't they? Why aren't the churches getting together? Because with the million followers that they have, you would think that would make an impact. So why haven't they?
Everybody in here is something to love. Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We lost you for a minute.
You did? I'm just waiting for an answer.
I thought you was
waiting for an answer. I know. Correct me if I'm wrong. You want to say that the same problem exists in the church community as in politics, and I agree. So the church that Christ intended was for them to receive all people, to address real pain that includes trauma, to prepare the next generation to invest in the family, especially when Reagan or whoever it was took the government out of mental health and placed it at the feet of the church. But we don't have those kind of professionals that Leona's talking about. A lot of times we don't have mental health in the church in order to deal with these issues. So the people are falling in the cracks. As if you know those problems exist across those platforms like politics and religion, the church. Everybody still has addictions. Everybody still suffers from trauma. We have all the crime and everything, even in the church. So until, I don't know what the answer is, it's just that at this point in time, we should make mental health the number one. But if I look
before that happens, look, we have church members, churchgoers, deacons, parish. Priests, rabbis, we got all kinds of people. Now, not all of them can have Trump. Yet all of them should recognize that Americans are in a bad state of affairs. So those who don't have trauma, why aren't they getting together to do something?
I don't think that's their focus. You can even look at the country. What's the 10 richest companies that are trillionaires and billionaires? It's all tech. It's oil. It's gas. Now it's going to be Tesla. It's nothing. And then pharmaceutical, just like she said. So there's nothing that has mental health at the top of the tier in order to make it. Nobody's pouring money in it.
You don't need mental health to be the focus. You need right and wrong. If God doesn't love the sinner and the politicians are being sinners, then why aren't the deacons, the rabbis, the priests, the prophetesses, all of the people with all the religious titles, why aren't they of all denominations getting together and saying, look at what's happening here. We have to stop it.
Exactly.
Like I said, they're not dealing with mental issues, and they're not putting the money in it. Like I said, the biggest companies are all other things. So they're not going to take over. Yeah.
It shouldn't be about
religion.
They're
not going to take over.
All people should come together, not maybe under one umbrella,
right.
One religion. And that's Andy says, we come together as we the people. That's the way it should be with religion. We all come together as one religion, and that's we, the children of God, the Most High. But the problem, what's happening right now, and even in the Bible, indicates it. It's so obvious that people will just read it. It says that these people are going to be hypocrites. The Christ himself said that. The people are going to be hypocrites. Yeah. And others have said that. You know, this is what I'm saying. People, when the Christ went to an affair, he was invited to meet with some of these Pharisees or whatever. And he brought some of his disciples with him. When they got ready to eat, they didn't wash their hands. So what did the people say? Now they're inviting the Christ because this person's supposed to be somebody big in their eyes. What are you doing eating with these people? And then what are you doing eating without washing hands? This is what the Bible's trying to tell people. There's a lot of people in this world that are hypocrites. And look at Rome, the very people that executed the Christ. This is where the Vatican is. This is where all the scrolls are that tell the history of the Bible. They're all at the Vatican. So we don't even really know the whole story to the Bible. Plus, these Bibles have been revised over and over again. But the message is still there. The message is still there to do, as Andy was saying, to do for one another as you want to be done for you, but also to let us know there are hypocrites out there that we're going to have to deal with. There are people that are going to think that they're better than others. There are going to be judges that are corrupt. There are going to be people that are going to be stealing from you. All of these things are telling us about the Bible, just like it's telling us in the last days what to expect. And it says to expect the tornadoes, the hurricanes. It says to expect the earthquakes. It says to expect the fires. It says to expect the plagues like the AIDS and the coronavirus. It says to expect the nuclear weapons because it's going to end by fire. So people need to look in the Bible, not in religion. And these people that are preaching, again, that are doing all the preaching, they need to be where the Christ went in and spoke with the souls, preached to the souls in the prisons. They need to go into the prisons and they need to speak to the prisoners, not one another, not other people that are up in high positions like them. Look at the former president. He held the Bible up, and what happened? The Bible was upside down. These are the kind of things that happen in this world, in this country, so forth. People will talk religion, but they don't do it. They don't act it. And we have
you don't have one government in the world, so you're not going to have one religion. You're not going to take away their choice and their beliefs. You can't do it. If that's the case, we wouldn't have good and evil. And like I was telling you, it's the love of money. And nobody's putting money other than, I guess, the system you talked about in the Netherlands. What did you say, Andy?
Norway.
Know what to do, but how many people? Norway.
They have people over there willing in the Netherlands. All this is excuses, okay? If the people who are in the church have parishioners going to the churches and the synagogues and the mosque and everything, then why can't they rally the people around, okay, in order to
become awakened?
The church
is not bigger than the government.
Then what good is the church?
And the government has a responsibility for the people. That's why they want votes. Churches don't do it, and church and government, the state is separated.
It's supposed to be.
You can't put that all at the church.
Church and state are supposed to be separated, and church is not supposed to have American flags in there. And I notice that's another thing. I can't deal with listening to people preach and go into churches where there's flags. I don't believe flags, especially just one flag, the United States. We're not talking in religion and Christianity or in any other religion. We're not talking about worshiping one flag, one country. And that's what caused division. That's what caused the last destruction of the world. People were worshiping idols. People were worshiping everything but the one most high creator. And that's what's happening now. People are patting themselves on the back. If you're rich, you're going to get all kinds of phony people worshiping you because you got money. You know, there's so many reasons why people are friends with other people. It's either because of power, it's because of fame, or it's because of money. Andy, I don't know why we put you in the background. Where are you?
I'm right here.
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, you know my thoughts are is we're the people, and there's a remnant that's set aside. In fact, I shared that when I look at the model of the story of Christ, he didn't go rounding up thousands of people. He got him a team of 12. And that's how he was able to do so much from that model, because he knew those people around him. And I'm not, again, running a campaign based on my religion, spiritual belief, or anything. I'm running this based on my experience, which is why I say I'm an applicant for the position of president, and the morals and values that I think this country, as people, have turned away from. Never in history have we ever seen such a chaotic scenario going on in government. The people are so divided. And one of my mentors would say, that's because we are living in the days of Noah right now, as it was then, now it is today. History will always repeat itself. And so when I'm coming in saying I recognize history is going to repeat itself, it's here because I'm here to destroy this negative energy and vibration that's going on, which doesn't allow me to get caught up in the conversation, belittling or negating the different elders. My only position, my main position with the other candidates that's running primarily on the forefront, which will be Biden, Trump, and Cornel West for better terms, is you guys are too old. You're out of touch with this generation. And that spirit of pride that's operating in there is representing a divided people. But when you bring somebody up in there that's saying, you know what, I'm on behalf of the people, and here's my solution for mental health, the trauma, the healing. Here's how we have judges and prosecutors be held accountable. And the reason why I say that are those that are elected representatives that swear an oath, because we the people look up to them to do what is right, to do what is honorable. And when they're not doing what's right and doing what's honorable, they're violating their oath and committing treason, which per the Constitution and the rules, that's punishable by death. So if that same energy was like that, the same accountability was like that, we wouldn't see this. And one of the ways I say that about reducing, you know, this mass enslavement is stop locking people up for victimless, for better terms, crimes. That's an issue. In order for a court to ever have jurisdiction based on Article 6, Section 2, I believe it is, of the Constitution, which is the Supremacy Clause, that goes to Article 3, Section 2, that says in order for the court to have jurisdiction over a common law matter, like a real crime, there has to be someone who suffered an injury. And that individual that suffered that injury is the one that brings the claim, not the prosecutor. Because in the descendants of slave litigation that happened, I don't know, it was back in 2000, something I want to say, 90, yeah, about 2006, the judge said even the prosecutor, in order to bring a claim, has to have suffered an injury for himself. You just can't go bringing against charges against people. So these traffic charges, these DUI charges, which I'm not saying you should be able to ride around in the streets intoxicated. What I'm saying, that's a breach of the peace. If, you know, you see somebody swerving on all that, that's a breach of the peace. And then you, as a peace officer, you try to help that individual get the healing that they need, because maybe the reason why they're drinking is because they need to self-medicate themselves. Because when they look at the current healthcare system, it's unaffordable. See, this is a whole Pandora box.
What would you do as president? Okay. What particular practical solutions would you implement, either in your campaign stumping or as president, in order to bring the nation together, solve the problems, do the healing, et cetera?
First and foremost, I would teach people about their rights. First and foremost, because if I stated before, and I'm going to keep stating it, I cannot do anything for people that people are unwilling to do for themselves. I don't have the power to change people. That's another form of oppression. I don't have that
ability.
So
if you were president, you would spend most of your time, what? Teaching people about what?
No, if I was president, I would do the job that I'm hired for, which is to protect the rights of the people and their property as a chief magistrate. As president, I would be ensured to be chief of the armed forces and ensure the borders are secure. Not
Hello?
Yeah.
He's still on, but apparently something is wrong with the sound.
Okay.
You know, He's talking about the national security, and I wanted to talk about one that just went over to Israel that was in the hospital. I forgot his name, but they said that they didn't know he was in the hospital for 3 days. There was no indication that anything was wrong.
I don't know about that.
The African American. International security there was a 3 day thing where no one knew where he was, and they found out he had been in the hospital. They found out he has prostate cancer, but he found out in the beginning of December. So now they're focusing on how they're going to resolve this issue. When these kind of things happen, the White House needs to be notified of something like that so they can put someone in right away in place, because they said this individual is the prime person to prevent something from happening, like an invasion in the country or whatever. And so I was wondering if anybody had heard about that and what their thoughts were on that.
No, I don't know anything about it. I'm going to go, Leona, all right?
Okay.
So take care. Happy New Year. And I'll talk to you another time, okay?
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Andy will have to call back in because apparently he just dropped. We couldn't hear him, but he'll probably be calling back in. But, again, the major issue in this country, and as Andy said, and you also mentioned, Rowena, mental illnesses in this country, mental illnesses, I think if there's a resolution to the mental illnesses and there's some kind of alternatives to prison, I think that's a big start in changing this country.
Oh, yeah, it would be a big start. But I'm going to be real honest with you. I hear all these, and I'm thinking we're getting the you still have to put things in order. What's the priority? The priority is to help, like you said, Andy. I'm not Andy. Yes, Andy has to do his job. He's not a messiah. He's going to go have to work with the House, and you know all those things. So we saw it with Obama. It's not going to be one religion because that will be robbing people of their rights. So the thing is, unless the people come together and act and start fighting for better, I just told you the first 10 biggest companies, you don't see mental health on nothing like that. You don't even see the hospital. You see pharma. You see big farm. So we're not putting money.
Yeah.
We're not
anything
putting money at that problem. Mm-hmm. All
Andy.
Those are trillionaires. Billionaires.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Andy, you started talking before you dropped in. What are your thoughts on what Rowena is saying right now? Because she's right about that. You hear all the time about everything that's money-making, but you don't hear a lot at all about the necessity of bringing in more mental health organizations, agencies, you know, or whatever. And, you know, what we're talking about right now with the mental issues, I have actually sent shows the links to the show when we've talked about mental illnesses in this country to a lot of groups on social media who actually are mental health providers or mental health groups. And a lot of times they bounce it. They bounce it. So
you
they
know what?
That
can I say? Yeah, can I interact there?
Please.
This is it, what Andy said. You know what? The church, they don't deal with a lot of mental issues. Like, I was in a church that was supposed to. They took every problem except for when it started to get, like, clinical. Then they would sit the homeless, because that's a lot of what the homeless is. They just said, I would sit there, and they were like, well, that person can't come here to this shelter. They can't come to this shelter. And I said, well, where are they going to go? And that's it. We got homeless people on the street. Andy, I just want to stop because I'm repeating myself, but I want to say I like the way you handled yourself exactly with that young man, that man on, because that's what's going to come. How does anybody expect for you to be Jesus and control the bank of the whole world or the bank of the United States and you just want to wipe your hand and everything's fixed? You don't have that responsibility. It's people that's under us. We're supposed to get together. It's supposed to be something, and I guess we don't get anything by asking or begging. We're going to have to start working together to do it.
I think what Joe was saying, too, is that whether it be Andy or whether it be any of these people out there out in these groups now campaigning, they're not going to be able to work together. That's what he's basically saying, Andy, is that you'd have to go through a lot of them, whoever the opposite. You'd have to go through them to get approved, get anything you want to do approved. And that would be, you mentioned it, Rowena, Obama, President Obama, he had to do, and he had a lot of oppression. So I think that's what
you're saying. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to sound kind of rude, but it's asinine to expect that the president, even if he get elected, is going to do all that. I mean, at what point does the people come together and they start asking and demanding these things?
Yeah.
So it does have to, we have to get something going, like Andy's getting the, what, reparations. Half of us don't even believe in reparations. Not because we don't believe, oh, you ain't never going to get that. So there's something that has to be done, even at the church level. Church level has to change too.
You know, on reparation, real quickly, and I'm going to shut my mouth. On reparation, okay. We have the African Americans shooting for reparations. We have the Native Indians shooting for reparations. We have a lot of these different cultures talking about reparation. I'm surprised the Irish and English aren't talking about it because they were at war.
Have you seen the reparations map?
No.
I have a reparations map I will share with you, and it's not even updated, but everybody has gotten reparations after war except for blacks. And the Native Americans, they get it. Yeah.
Has the Native Americans gotten it too?
Yes, ma'am. And the thing about what's going on with that, so there is a racial component, like you said, still slave kind of like mentality here in the United States. And it also brings division because what's going on in some of the main Native American tribes is even though during slavery we escaped and they helped us, some of them, only a few that made slaves, but when you know that happens, we intermarry, we have children. And now because they were living and they have Native American tribal cards, the money that the government gave them, the reparations they gave them, they realize it's not enough. So they're kicking out the black native, literally. I looked at interviews. I saw one man say, yes, we know they're Native Americans, but it's about money and they're not pure, so we're kicking them out. So that's that division of our government. And why would he think that? Why is it okay to believe that?
Andy, your thoughts?
About reparations?
I'm going to put myself on mute finally. I'm sorry.
I just had one of my designers come up with a Vision for America Reparations Now flyer. And
okay.
It shows the White House being black. And I'll send it to both of you, Ms. Rowena and Ms. Leona. But reparations is bigger to me than just the historical injustices that was done to the ancestors. Reparations for me is right now, which is restitution. I need to be made whole from what you're doing to me today, taking out
what
my paycheck.
What you're doing to me today is to... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ms. Rowena.
But it is institutionalized. So you cannot take something today and not make the connection from yesterday, because that's
right.
What some people say about reparations. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with me. If you got to establish that connection, and then maybe you have some of the groups I saw that you had, they already have that understanding. But a lot of people don't
Correct.
Have that understanding, and a lot of people, even like our people, and even they don't feel like there's enough money to share or that there's
Right.
nothing that's going to happen. It's not money either, just like you said. I say it's taxes. I say it's student loans. I say it's
yes.
mortgages.
Yes.
All those things.
Yes.
That you're correct, but it all leads up. Yeah.
It's all a form of slavery and bondage that still exists.
Yes.
And Ms. Rowena, because I've tapped into a higher realm, it's stuff that I can share offline, which is why I said there's
okay,
an immediate
gotcha.
Circle that I'll be dealing with because I know how to get it now. Like,
okay.
This is not a 2024 elect me thing. I realize, and I'll share this, I've often wondered, not so much personally, but I know through my wife sharing with me, how do these people have all these nice homes? How
Thank
do they
you.
Get these million-dollar homes? How do they get these homes? And the Lord has revealed it to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. Like, you know, they take people's houses and for
now,
taxes.
It's another
and then
way.
They take, yeah, yep. And then they sell
it's
them
a,
back to their group. You just pay the taxes.
No,
you can get a $1 million home. If it's $10,000 taxes they didn't pay and they seize it, somebody can come in there and get it.
There's another way that deals with the trust.
Okay.
And that is how you can get it now because you're a joint
okay.
heir to the throne. And that,
okay.
like, what I've been able to be revealed to me is,
mm-hmm.
as believers, we're not operating
mm-hmm.
in the power that we've been given. But other
absolutely.
People have. other people have, because our identity has been stolen. And we're looking for a tangible thing to make us whole. And it says, above all, I wish your soul was prosperous, because there's a spiritual reparation that's going on. And those
you know,
that get
what
it,
my book's about.
We won't be focused on this other stuff. That's for the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's not for us. Because the wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That inheritance has been here since the beginning, that deals with Hosea 10:12, the gold and the silver. Now, there's a way to get that. And that is what has come to been revealed to me. And it is phenomenal.
Okay.
Well, we literally
I'm so
are operating in you owe no man nothing but to love one another. How do we do that if we're constantly in this slave system of bondage, of debt, and this? And there's a way that we can instantly get rid of all that.
Okay.
And it's a lawful way, dealing with equity, dealing with trust, dealing with something that we've not dealt with because we've been torn away from our natural ability. When the Constitution and Declaration of Independence talks about nature's God and the Creator, we have access to that.
Okay.
And that is where this campaign switches, because we are able to set people free now. That's what it is. We're not waiting until 2020 election. But it always tells you, because we're believers on these, here we're on the call now, is you have to qualify the soil. And what we're doing is just throwing seeds any kind of where. No. It's got to be in fertile soil so we can receive that harvest 50, 100-fold. That's what it is. What are we doing with the talents that was given to us? And when we grasp that from a spiritual aspect, that's why I feel like God has shared with me that we are the people was a faith base. And we are the people as one nation under God, the living God. So aligned with us to be a member, depending on your level of maturity, when it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When we, when that's been established that you are no longer a child, but an adult, and not adult in your age. I'm talking about in the level
mentally.
Of your maturity.
Yeah.
It's going to change the game. And once it changes the game, we're going to find out that a lot of things that we're trying to advocate for is not our business. It's not. Because we're still in a private kingdom. Like Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. So I'm not trying to tell the world how they should run. I'm trying to transform the way the world should be. Not how they should run. I'm transforming it. And that's the part that I feel like no, and not trying to compare it with nobody, because I say, me and Miss Reed and my VP, we were born for this. And we're representing what that kingdom on earth looks like without having to tell somebody. Because anytime you say, I'm going to change this, that means now you're going to do that. How? You can't change nobody unless the Spirit draws them. And the only way the Spirit can draw them is the Spirit is set free, if the captive is set free. And this is such a spiritual movement that's happening. That's why I feel like I can give the solution, because it's not on no one individual that can save that. That's that master slave mentality, which is
that's
why we
I
have
said,
these slave patrols.
That's asinine.
How can you do that? And see, people want to say stuff to make people feel good about what they're saying. And that's not the truth. You're not going to get a lie out of me. You will get something that I may not comprehend and said it in ignorance without correct. But you definitely will not hear me lie. You will not hear me say something that when I know the truth and I'm going to say, well, I'm going to say this lie just to get elected. Because out of all these candidates that's been elected over the last 20 years, I ain't seen now one of them jokers do anything for the people. I've seen things happen for their party and their power. But the people have always had the power. We outnumber the government every way you look. What, 535 in Congress? We outnumber them. Why don't we use our power and say, stop infringing upon my rights, you know, my unalienable rights that
that's
were given to me by nature, God, and the Creator.
That's right.
And that's what the chief magistrate of the law does, is protect the people's rights and their property. And you know what our property is? That's our rights. My rights is my property. And with this current government that's gotten so far away from, quote-unquote, the founding fathers, because they don't even comprehend having a mind but cannot comprehend, having eyes but cannot see, having ears but cannot hear. We talk about a constitutional republic, which the people are sovereign, but yet still you're trying to infringe on somebody else's rights. That's not a constitutional republic. That's a dictatorship. That's a monarchy. The very thing that these Europeans escaped Great Britain from is what that spirit here is in America. And the reason why we know that spirit is here in America, because you conquered the people that was here. So now the descendants of the people that are here are POWs. So it's prisoners of war that are not only locked up in these cages, but we're locked up in our own communities because we're not in freedom. Somebody tells you when you got to go to work, how much you can get paid, when you come home, when you got to pay this sticker. Like, that is a form of slavery contrary to freedom. And if we get back to the founding father and then take that to the alleged founding fathers, because, again, yes, they didn't find nothing that already existed, but they claimed it because they wrote something and said we're the founding fathers after you done, you know, conquered everybody else. But when we get back to that principle and morals that they had, now we have a nation by the people, for the people, because we are the people. This is the one nation under God. This ain't about no Democrat, about no Republican. This is about we the people. And so after the first 3 years that it takes of representing that and seeing how I'm going to move without Congress approval, why would you go to somebody that's a child to ask them about matters that they have no experience in? We have a Congress that has no experience with our generation and our rights because it's just the blind leading the blind. That's what I really believe the issue is.
The problem with that, though, Andy, is the fact that there are others that you'd have to go against in because it's not just we the people. It will be the Democrats and the Republicans. But you say what you just said, you know, your rights and everything else. But with them, just like they're trying to do right now with Joe Biden, is have them impeached. So if that was the case, they could have you impeached, and then they could still take over. And this is why I think Joe and Rowena mentioned it as well. This is why we need to find out how you would handle something like that, because just going in as president and saying, okay, we the people, we're taking over, it's not going to work because they can have you impeached.
Well, one thing, Miss Leona, I never said I was going in to take over. That's not what I said. I said I was going to go in there and do my job.
Exactly.
And the only time people
get
impeached is the people get impeached when they haven't done their job. There's always been some deceptive and some other things. And for us three, two or three, we here. I can be bold enough to declare I'm about the father's business. And I have a historical book of countless victories of how the David slew the Goliath. That's what I have. So my faith is not in man. My faith is in the one that's created me. That's why I always allude to Jimmy Carter, because he had a certain faith. But we are of the generation that's saying we love Andy. We want Andy. That's the story. We want Andy. And because that generation, 65, 70, them jokers is a dying generation now. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
We got to represent this current generation. And they're not looking for somebody to be their parent. They're looking for somebody to represent freedom. They're looking for somebody that doesn't have a divisive conversation. And because I know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in the temple when they lied and were struck down dead. I know what happened to Pharaoh and them when they didn't honor when God said, let his people go. I seen what happened, how they drowned. I seen the plagues that happened. I'm not trying to fight that battle because that don't belong to me. I'm about the business of wishing that none should perish, setting the captives free, which would be the people. And that's what the people get to see. And what I'm able to show them today, like I said 2 weeks ago, I filed this massive suit against the state of Illinois for their traffic scheme, which is legalized slavery, forced labor. We'll be doing something similar dealing with the prisoners' voting rights. So now what we have is a candidate with a resume of advocating on behalf of the people. 2020, I sued Donald Trump for not doing his job, and Governor Pritzker for infringing upon my rights. I did that. I've already sued the institutions for slavery. And what I'm saying is now the DOJ that was created in 1800s to protect the Negroes and their descendants, which now goes through all the people as, you know, we've evolved as a nation. It originally started for this, but then it's like you have to deal with equal treatment. So everybody is entitled to have protection through the DOJ. But when you have a DOJ that's not protecting the rights of the people but infringing upon them, you have to bring in somebody to run this, better yet, corporation based on the rights of the people and not based on the rules and the bylaws of that corporation, because we're not dealing in business. And that's what I bring to the table. That's what I can articulate. And I'm not concerned about when I get before people what they say about this and this, because I know it's somebody speaking through me. There's a creator that's speaking through me. And it really takes a strong discipline, a strong level of faith, like Noah, to build a boat when ain't never been a raindrop on the land ever, but he gonna follow that spirit and do what's supposed to be done. And I'm quite sure when that door closed and that first raindrop pop on somebody's head, they wish they would have got on that boat. That's how I feel when it comes to this move that we're on right now. But I don't believe.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you. If I look at the signs of the times, and I look at and I believe what the Bible says, and I understand that it's the end of the end, I am going to vote with the person that's voting with God, because mm-hmm. at some point in time, something's got to happen. We can't continue the way we are. So, like, if that boat take off, I'm in it too. So I'm voting for you. I'm sorry.
Me too. Right. Like I said, it's many a call but few are chosen. You know, many a call.
Yep, that's
few.
True.
And I'm not trying to convince carnal minds about spiritual matters, because it won't
right.
work. I'm
it
just
sure
doing
won't.
What I'm saying, what I need to do. And one thing I will share this is, we don't need one White House. We can have multiple fathers' houses all across the nation. That's
you know, when you, were,
people are.
When you and Rowena were talking about the when you were talking about the I'm sorry, say it. I'm all over the place today. Reparations,
mm-hmm.
when you were
okay.
talking about reparations, one of the things that I was getting ready to say, and I had started to forget my train of thought, but I was going to say, rather than the money, I'd like to see the White House renamed, because they talk about
the people's
they talk about the racism in this country. You know, after Martin Luther King, everything was supposed to be fine. It wasn't fine even when Martin Luther King, God rest his soul, when all that was going on, because if it was, they would have renamed the White House then. But this White House has been there since George Washington, which goes to show you that there was a meaning for the name White House. And until that White House is renamed, then as far as I'm concerned, nothing's changed since the beginning in this world. I have to say this real quickly, too, and because a lot of people think in the community that the world will never end, as it says in the Bible. But I want to remind everybody of something. This earth, this planet that we're living on is not the world. This is a planet amongst all others in the world. So the world consists of all these planets throughout the hemisphere and everything else. That's why it was described in the beginning of the Bible. But what we're living on is a planet. And if you notice, all these spaceships, all these things, missions that have gone up to Mars and Jupiter and the moon and all this, you notice they're talking about at one time there was life on some of these planets. And it's possible that life was on some of them, and some of them have not had life on it yet. But we're not living in a world just on this planet. We're living on a planet just like all the others. The world consists of all these other planets all over. So when they talked about Ezekiel in the Bible, talked about UFOs, basically that's what they were talking about. And now there's been over 500 sightings since January of last year. So we're talking about these UFOs now as if these things are starting to come into play as well. We need to really watch it, and people really need to change. They need to change their attitude. They need to change all this mass incarceration, all these abuses going on, all this division. Andy, you're right. Changes need to be made. And you can you can base it on Bible scriptures, but it's going to take more than Bible scriptures. It's going to take believers. And we don't have a lot of believers in this world, I mean, this country, in this planet. We have a lot of people on television that are preaching because they get paid to preach. But what did it say? Go out and preach to those in the remote areas. I remember when I was in Ghana, I was in those remote areas. And those people don't even know about the Bible. Those people don't even have enough to really survive. So all of this money that they're making on television, they should be going out into those very remote areas where there's no electricity, where there's no telephones, where there's nothing, and preach, not only preach to these people, but give them something. Give them some money that you're collecting in this country, and they're not doing that. You know, these pastors and preachers, oh, jeez. But anyway, Andy, we have four more minutes, so if you want to, and you too, Rowena, if you want to give the audience any information, how they can contact you, how they can email you, or if they want to do any volunteer work with, whatever the case may be, please let them know. We have 4 minutes. I'm going to put myself once again on mute.
My thing is, you can reach Andy at www.awj2024.com. And I ask this, and I'm going to ask it every time I get on the call. Go to the donation page to the listeners and make a donation. We are working on a very beautiful budget. We're not raising millions of dollars. In fact, I've capped it off at $573,000 because that is the prorated salary of the position that I'm applying for. And per the FBC rules, that can be the salary. And I'm doing the work today. So I am asking for donations, any size within the FEC rules, which is put on that the website, to make a donation today. And I can assure you, your seed, by partnering with Andy, that seed will go further than you've ever seen before, because we are committed to freedom for we the people. It's our inalienable right given to us by nature's God and the Creator. And that guy, awj2024.com, and his running mate, Rita Williams, we're born for this. And we have a vision for a new government, by the people, for the people, because we are the people.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you so much. And also, if they want to volunteer to even to do fundraising or maybe do research for you, is that a possibility too?
Definitely. You can email me on my my website. You can email me on the website. We definitely could use some volunteers in our fundraising as well as our press, getting out into the press, because we've done some great things and we just need to get that platform going on.
Okay.
All right.
And people, don't believe because you don't see people running out there other than the Republicans. A lot of people will probably start coming out towards the latter part of the year because they're not going to be using up all this money that all these Republicans have been using to change their, campaign speeches when they're not getting the people the rates that they're trying to get. But as I said, this is good, Andy. I thank you so much for coming on, Rowena. I thank you so much for coming on. And Andy will be on with us again next Tuesday, same time, 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Please join us then. And as I said, Franz Dow will be on tomorrow with us. And he will be on with Khalil Sheikh. I'm having a problem. Khalil Sheikh, C-H-A-I-T, from prison. He came from prison to success. This is what I'm saying. People can be in prison and they can come out and they can be totally successful in what they're doing. Andy, you're a good example. Judge Greg Mathis mentions it all the time on his television show. He was incarcerated one time. He came out and he is the youngest judge ever to be elected as judge. So we will have Khalil on with us tomorrow, who will be talking about his time in prison and his what he has done since. And everyone can join us tomorrow to hear what he has to say. And Andy, again, I thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you,
thank you for
Rowena.
Having me too.
Yeah. Rowena, thank you so much for coming on. And your qualifications, you have to come on more often because you're right in that area of mental health resolutions. And so I'd love to have you come on the show as a guest as well. This is what we need in this country. We really, really need to address the mental health issues and the addictions that are going on in this country. Too many people have been traumatized as children and adolescents. They're all in prison now. They keep putting them in prison rather than coming up with some solutions. All the money that's being spent in the prisons can be spent in residential, long-term residential treatment facilities, whether it be for anger management, whether it be for mental illnesses, whether it be for addictions. Start using that money, taxpayers' dollars, to go into something that's going to be more positive, and that is long-term residential treatment facilities in place of prisons. Thank you again for coming on, Andy and Rowena. Thank you, audience, for listening, and we will end this episode at this time. Thank you all.
Thank you.